Testament. Amen. It's up there on the board. You can see it. Y'all talking about animals. I'm going to talk about animals today. Amen. I'm a preacher. Amen. And the text just simply says, thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Take your seats. Thou shalt not plow with an ass, with an ox and ass together. Now, because we have young people in here, and some of y'all get offended when you see that word ass, but it's in the Bible, say amen, somebody. But I'm gonna change it to donkey. Is that all right with y'all? Amen. I'm going to change it to donkey. So thou shalt not plow with an ox. Keep your Bibles open and a donkey together. Now, when you read this 22nd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, now y'all ain't going to shout today, but I'm going to talk to you. Amen. When you read this 22nd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, I want to talk about unsanctified mixture, all right? And so in this 22nd chapter, we have the laws that govern seven important social issues. And this 22nd chapter of Deuteronomy primarily dealt with being a good neighbor, and it also dealt with having a strong testimony for the Lord. Now, even though we're going to, our primary focus is going to be on that 10th verse, I think you need to know what takes place, amen, in the prior verses. Be very careful when you read the Bible, just grabbing one verse and then running with it. And you got to understand why that verse was written. And so in 22nd chapter, we have the seven important social issues. And if you glance at verses 1 through 3, amen, it deals with the restoration of lost property. Amen. It says that if a man finds another man's property, he's supposed to return that property to him. And if he cannot find that man, he's supposed to take his property and take care of it until he gets in touch with the man. And that's issue number one it deals with. Then when you go down to verse number 4, issue 2, it deals with assisting a neighbor. So in other words, if a neighbor has a donkey and a donkey falls into a ditch, you're not supposed to just drive by that neighbor, but you're supposed to get out and you're supposed to assist your neighbor. And then when you get down to that third issue, and I think I ain't going to deal with this one too long, but this third this third issue has been a real issue, amen, especially in the church, amen, because we have taken this particular verse number 5 out of context, amen. We've just only focused on the first part of the verse. And in fact, and I'm going to say it, that's where so much controversy in the church have come up in regards to women wearing pants. Amen. And I'm not going to deal with that. Don't worry. Don't get nervous. Amen. But we took that out of context. Now, I don't want nobody to come up to me after church talking about, do that mean, Pastor, we could wear pants to church? That's not what I'm trying to deal with here today. I'm trying to deal with what the issues were, amen, that for the cause of this 22nd chapter. You know, the Mason, we harped on that women shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. And we just kind of focus on that first part. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Well, this particular verse, whether you know it or not, it was dealing with transvestism. Amen. Transvestism. It was dealing with transvestites. Y'all know who those people are. It was dealing with idol worship. You have to understand that men wore the colored dress of women when they presented themselves before the star of Venus. And also, the women wore men's armor when presenting themselves before the stars of Mars. Amen. And so idols often had the feature of one sex and the dress of the other. Amen. And so their worshipers endeavored to be like them. Y'all understand that? And so it didn't have nothing to do with pants or anything like that. It dealt with idol worship, which I want to let all of you all know that when you begin to worship idols, you'll fall in the hands of an angry God, because that spirit, amen, that spirit, they was doing all of this, men dressing like women and women was dressing like men just to be like their idol. Be careful who you make your idol. Say amen, somebody. Be careful who you make your idol, because you'll start acting like them. You'll start dressing like them. You'll start wanting to walk like them. You'll start talking like them. You'll even try to drive like them. Y'all ain't gonna, some folk go crazy. Amen. And they take this thing too far. And so that's what that fifth verse dealt with. And then when you look at verses 6-7, which was the fourth issue, it was the conservation of animal life and of food. And then down at verse number 8, it dealt with building codes and public safety. A lot of this stuff ain't no different than what we have right now. Amen. And then verses 9-11, it dealt with the unnatural, inappropriate, impure mixing, which was a symbol of spiritual separation. And then the issue number 7, verse number 12. See, I done preached through 12 verses already. It dealt with distinctive clothing. Now, there it does deal with clothing, distinctive clothing. It was a symbol to stir obedience and holiness. And so if you don't think that God is concerned about what you wear, then I want you to know that the devil is a liar, because this here deals with it. And so I know some of y'all want to be deep, and you want to say, well, these were the laws for Israel, and we are no longer under the law. I understand that. We're no longer under the law, but we are under grace. Everybody say, we are under grace. But I want to explain something to you about being under grace, because Jesus came along and Jesus said that I did not come to do away with the law. In other words, the law is not obsolete. I did not come to get rid of the law, but I came to do what? Fulfill the law. Amen. And in fulfilling the law, what Jesus was saying was that if you break the law, if you are in me, then you won't have to have the consequences of that law. Now I want y'all to follow me, because if you glance at verse number 20 down to verse number 24, somebody ought to say, thank God for grace. Amen. Now, don't respond to this portion that I'm about to talk to, but there was a law that if a girl or woman is found guilty of losing her virginity before marriage, the elders of the city were supposed to take her to the front door of her father's house, and all the men of the city were supposed to stone her to death. Don't say nothing, but I know some of y'all ought to jump up and say, thank God for grace. See, that's where he came to fulfill the law. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? And it said if a man was found lying with a married woman, amen, the law was that both of them was to be stoned to death. Amen. And so because of God's grace, that's where he came to fulfill the law, that if you were in Jesus Christ, if any man be in Christ, what, he is a what? New creature. And old things are what? Passed away, and behold, all things become as new. And so thank God for grace. And so Israel's civil laws given centuries ago by God, they have many good principles in them for us today. God just didn't write, amen, the Old Testament. And then when the New Testament come along, you're supposed to forget about the old. I keep telling you all that there's no way under heaven that you can understand the New Testament if you don't read the Old Testament. Come on here, somebody. That's just like buying a book, amen, with 500 pages and turning to page 300 and finishing up the rest of the story. Because the New Testament is simply a fulfillment of the Old Testament. And so these laws that were given by God, they have many good principles that we can use today. And when I deal with the word principle is a moral rule or belief that helps you know what is right and wrong and that influences your actions. Amen. And so these laws, you see the principle in our text, that you shall not plow with an ox and a donkey. The principle in this text is not really plowing with the ox and the donkey together, but the principle is simply prohibiting of unsanctified, unholy mixture. I'm going to show it to you. It says you, in other words, you cannot do the will of God well, amen, when you travel on both sides of the street, amen. You, it hurts to straddle a fence. Y'all ain't gonna help me here. I said it hurt. You have to either be on one side of the fence or you have to be on the other side. Have you ever got caught on the fence in the middle? All right here, somebody. I don't mean to put you to sleep, but I want you to hear me here today, amen. If you was planning on going to Costco, amen, from here, that's on Market Street over here, you have to head north, amen, on 32nd Street. And I don't know nobody in here on their way to Costco that would travel on both sides of the street. You gonna stay on one side? Well, let me advise you to stay on one side of the street if you plan on making it to your destination. Well, why, when it comes to God and the things of God, we think we can travel on both sides of the street. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, but what, narrow is the way that leadeth to eternal life. And so the ox and donkey in our text illustrate an unsanctified mixture because they are not compatible in many areas. In other words, an ox and a donkey, they are completely opposite. Can I help you? The ox has character. The donkey is without character. The ox is a worker. The donkey is a slugger. Donkey is lazy. The ox is a generator of power, but the donkey is a blown fuse. The ox speaks of wisdom, and the donkey speaks of stupidity. So you can't put an ox and a donkey together and expect them to plow the field in a straight line. Now, I know this text speaks in the natural about an ox and a donkey, but the spiritual implication is about spiritual separation. Everybody say spiritual separation of the believer, of living a pure and a holy, a distinctive life from the immoral and lawless behavior of the world. And I think that's what's wrong with the church. We have lost our distinctiveness. Come on here. And when I speak of the church, I'm not speaking of Greater St. Luke Church. I'm not speaking of St. Stephen's Cathedral. I'm speaking of the body of Christ. How many of y'all know that we are the church? You ought to pat yourself and say, I am the church. I am the church. I am the church. And I think that we've lost our distinctiveness. People look at the church now. They listen to how we talk. They listen to how we dress. They listen to how we act. They look at the places that we go to. We've lost our distinctiveness. I was looking on Facebook just last night, and we have a lady that's been ordained as an elder. And I don't have no problem with women being ordained as elders. God can use whomever he desires to use. But she posted on last night that she down there at a club celebrating her and her husband's anniversary. But guess what? I guarantee you she's sitting in church right now with a clergy collar on. That's what I mean by losing your distinctiveness. Well, Pastor, can I go to hell for sitting in the club? Well, guess what? No, I'm going to say you can't. No. Going to a club won't send you to hell, but it sure can lessen the power of your testimony. Come on, y'all just sick, because I'm going to show talk to y'all. I told you you're not going to dance here today. Amen. If we can do what they do, amen, then when they look at us, why would they want what we have if we're doing the same thing? If they're twerking and I'm twerking doing praise and worship, y'all ain't got to talk back here to me. Well, maybe I went a little too far, but still, there'll be some folk twerking now, doing the dropping it like it's hot, doing praise and worship, and they think everything is okay. And you can draw young people to come join praise and worship, long as I can do this while I'm praising God. But there must be a distinctiveness. I'm not interested in growing the church in worldly fashion, because there must be a distinctiveness. There's a difference between holy and unholy. There's a difference between clean and unclean. And what has happened with the church, we have lost our distinctiveness. And so the Israelites, they were to live lives that were distinct, totally separated to God. And so this law drove the truth of spiritual separation into their minds and into their hearts through everything. Everybody say everything. Everything that they did, God wanted his people separated, set apart to him, not to the world and its sinful ways. And so therefore, when you keep on reading this text, oh Lord, I want y'all to read it when you get home, read the whole chapter. God, he commanded that there should be no mixing of seed when you even go out and plant a field. He said, don't even mix the seed. Make sure all the seed is the same, farmer, when you go out and plant your field. Then he talked about in our text that there shall be no mixing of animals in the plowing. And then he talked about that there should be no mixing of clothes made from two different materials. Now, in the natural, that simply means that you couldn't mix polyester and linen, or wool and polyester. Well, if that was all that we were supposed to get out of that law, every last one of us is on our way to hell, because some of y'all got cotton on and it's mixed with linen and it mixed with everything else. But it had a spiritual implication, and that's why when you read the word of God, you can't read it in your flesh. If you expect God to give you revelation and real interpretation of his word, you just can't read it in your flesh. Amen. But you have to read it through the spirit. And the purpose of this law was to give a daily reminder to God's people, a reminder that they were to live a life of spiritual separation. In other words, everything was to maintain its difference and distinction. distinctiveness. I know we don't hear this kind of preaching today, but I'm going to keep on preaching it. Hallelujah. In other words, there was to be no mixture of truth and error. You got to be careful because the devil will tell you 99 truths and he'll slip in one lie. And that's the lie that you'll catch a hold of. My God, help me preach here. You catch because it sounds good, because it feels good, because there's a self-satisfaction that comes along with it. You grab hold of that one lie and it'll cause you to forget all about the 99 truths. And it will be that one lie that will destroy you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He said, but you can't mix. Don't mix truth with error. No mixture of morality and immorality. No mixture of obedience and disobedience. You want to be obedient when you feel like it. But when it's an inconvenience to you, then all of a sudden, a spirit of disobedience come upon you. Somebody else said, the devil is a liar. Let me calm down. God's people were to live lives that were distinctively different from that of their immoral and lawless neighbors. They were not to have any mixed behavior, not adopt any of the sinful and evil practices of their wicked neighbors. They were to live lives of spiritual separation, lives that were distinctively different from the rest of the world. Can I put some scripture in Romans, the 12th chapter, verse number 1? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. How am I going to present it? Holy, acceptable unto God. And which is your what? You ain't doing God no favor because you live holy. You're not doing God no favor because you do what's right. It's your reasonable service. And then he turned around and be not what? Conformed to this world. It's too much conforming to this world and the things of this world. Y'all ain't got to talk back into me. We're trying to keep up with every style and everything that the world comes up with. But don't be conformed to this world. But what? Be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. In other words, in my proving, I'm not trying to prove who I am. I'm not trying to prove who I know. I'm not trying to prove how smart I am. I'm not trying to prove how much money I have. But I'm trying to prove to you that the will of God is working in my life. How many of y'all know it's proven time? Folk been talking. They've been talking the talk, and talk is cheap. Somebody say it take what? Money to buy land. You can stand there and claim that house all you want to and claim that car all you want to. Talk is cheap. It's time that we prove the perfect will of God in our lives. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4. I just want to talk to y'all. He says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this world, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And we bold to sing, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I've been wounded in the army of the Lord. We need to quit lying, because if you are in God's army, you don't entangle yourself. You don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this world. And how come I don't do it? Because I want to please the one who has chosen me to be a soldier. I want to know, is there anybody here, you want to please God? Anybody want to please God? Oh, come on. I said, do anybody want to please God? Well, if you want to please God, and guess what? Then you cannot entangle yourself with the affairs of this world. 2 Corinthians 6, I mentioned some of that. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separated, said the Lord. And then he said, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. He said, come on out from among them. You got to separate yourself. You got to be different. Why? Because birds of the feather flock together. Oh, y'all ain't got to talk. Don't tell me you save and you sanctify and you fill with the Holy Ghost and that with the burning fire, and your best friend is the biggest sinner on the face of this earth. I'm not saying we're supposed to have an attitude. I'm not saying that we can't have friends that are not saved. But you ought to have enough Holy Ghost inside of you. You shouldn't be at the same bar they at. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. You shouldn't be puffing on the same marijuana joint that they puffing on. Why? Because there's got to be a difference. Sanctify yourself, and the very God of peace shall do what? Sanctify you holy. Somebody say, preach, pastor, preach. He said, don't touch it. You got to come out from it. The power of God that works inside of your life. Something ought to be in your life that they ought to see that will make them want to change. But the problem with the church is the church is trying to change like the world. Even saved folk trying to change like the world to get the world in the church. I'd rather sit here with two people. Y'all ain't going to talk back here to me. I said, I'd rather sit here with two people that have the same mind. Why? Because you cannot plow a field with an ox and a donkey. You can go through the motions. You can, oh, we sure had good church today. I don't care nothing about all that, because what is your determination of good church? All because you danced for 45 minutes don't mean you had good church. What did the Lord say to you? Have your life been changed when you left? Do you feel like going on? Do you feel more encouraged? Do you feel elevated in the power of the Almighty God? Well, let me wrap it up real quick here now. Listen. He said, don't plow with the ox and with the donkey. First of all, here's the reason why. Real quick, three things real quick. Here, write this down because I want you to get it. The reason why you can't plow with the ox and the donkey is, first of all, their size. Everybody say their size. You see, the donkey was smaller than the ox. And not nearly as strong. He could not pull a plow alone. So farmers, they hitched an ox to the same yoke. Now the yoke was like a wooden thing or metal thing that you attached to the neck, amen, of both of them, amen. One on the ox neck, one on the donkey neck, and it kept them real close together. And so watch this. If one of them went to the left, they both had to go to the left. I want y'all to catch it. And see, some of y'all don't want to be hitched with Jesus. Hallelujah. You want to go to the left with it when you feel like it. But no, take my yoke upon you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I give you rest. Take my yoke. That's what Jesus was talking about when he was saying yoke up with him. In other words, whatever direction Jesus leads you, come on here, you can't help but go that direction. Come on. Why? Because I'm yoked up with Jesus. And so the farmers hitched an ox to the same yoke with the donkey to do their plowing. Well, first of all, this was a very uneven hitch. Why? Because the donkey had a different step. The donkey had a different pace. The donkey has a different walk. Are y'all following me here? And so therefore, it could not pull equally. And can I say this, Elder Mason? That's why there's so much frustration in the church, even when we're trying to do the work of the Lord. Y'all ain't gonna help me, because you got an ox that you're trying to hook up with a donkey. Y'all, it's right here in the text. And so you become frustrated because that person ain't committing like you're committing. That person ain't doing what you want to do. But how many of y'all know you cannot allow that individual to give you a donkey mentality? reality when you're an ox. Y'all ain't gonna help me here. Because a real ox would never want to be a donkey. If anything, the donkey want to be, are you getting somebody this, man? If anything, the donkey want to be like the ox. But don't, if you are ox, if you are ox, don't go down to the donkey mentality. And that's why it becomes frustrated. Everybody don't have the same pace. Everybody don't have the same walk. Everybody don't have the same maturity. Come on here. You got babes in the church, and babes desire the sincere milk of the word. But a grown person wants some meat. I want some ribeye. Y'all ain't gonna help me. And you better cook it medium well, because I can handle it. But I wouldn't give a baby a ribeye. And here's our problem, Sister Diane. We take folk who have not made the commitment to God and have not separated themselves and are not distinctive, and we hook them up together. Can I please tell you, be careful who you hit yourself to. Hallelujah. Be careful who you hitch up with, because, come on, you might be the ox and they might be the donkey. And you can't take everybody with you where God is trying to take you. You can't tell everybody. You can't tell everybody. What you gonna tell a donkey what God is getting ready to do? I'm preaching the text, so y'all get mad at me if you want to. I don't even care. Amen. Why would you take a donkey and hit yourself knowing that you are an ox, and you trying to drag them along with you? And that's all you're going to be doing, is dragging them. They don't have the same walk. The pace is much different, and there's no way you're going to ever be able to plow a straight line as long as you are hitched up with the wrong person. Y'all ain't going to help me. I'm not going here, but that's why Paul said don't be unequally yoked together. And y'all took that to mean, when it came to marriage, a black woman shouldn't marry a white man. That ain't what that meant. Come on here, somebody. Oh, you going to hell, all this racist. No, you the one that's racist. If a white man will treat you better than a black man, marry that white man. Y'all ain't got to talk back here to me. Hallelujah. If a black woman will treat a white woman, treat you better than a black woman, y'all talking about, well, we need to stay in our race. You don't even know what our race consists of. The only race you need to stay in is a race that's been set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He wasn't talking about race when he was talking about don't be unequally yoked together. He was talking about don't you hook up yourself with an unbeliever and you are a believer. Don't no saved person have no business even dating an unsaved person. Y'all wasn't ready for this today, were you? There's got to be a distinctiveness. There has to be a distinctiveness. And so one of the things was, it was their size. Their walk was different. Their pace was different. And so they hitched them up together. Well, let me see. You can't plow straight, amen, with unsanctified mixture. What's an unsanctified, unholy mixture? You cannot mix faith and the flesh together. Yeah, man. I told you, faith is spiritual. Either you're going to trust God or you're not going to trust God. That's just the bottom line. I'm tired of seeing the saints up and down, one day believing God, next day getting ready to just do some, beat up everybody. I'm tired of it. That's unholy mixture. Either you're going to have faith and trust, and you're going to believe God and put this flesh under subjection. No, God may not be moving as fast as you need him to move. And can I ask you a question? Anybody need God to move a little bit faster? Come on, you admit it. I ain't going to talk about you. Amen. I need God to move a little bit faster in a situation that I'm dealing. I need God to move. I wish he moved them all. But guess what? You can't hurry God. And that's where faith comes in at, is I got to stand still, and I got to see the salvation of the Lord, and I got to believe God. I got to trust God, hallelujah, that it shall come to pass. You can't mix faith in the flesh. You can't be pious on Sunday and stir hell all throughout the rest of the week. You can't plow straight. You can't. I don't care nothing about your long dresses. I don't care about you singing on the praise and worship team. I don't care about you dancing in church. I don't care about your black suit. I don't care that you're going to hold the communion tray. Anybody can look saved. Anybody can talk saved. But my God, we deny the power thereof when we are pious on Sunday and live like the devil the rest of the week. Just be you. Tell your neighbor, just be you. Tell him, just be you. Take your mask off. If you mean at home, y'all ain't gonna talk back. It ain't gonna be long before it show up in church. If you cuss at home, it ain't gonna show be long. You liable to get them testifying, start cussing. Come on here, somebody, because whatever's in you got to come out. And all God wants you to do is just be you. Tell your neighbor, just be you, just be you, just be you at work, just be you on the job, just be you when you come to church, especially when you come to church, be you. Because if you try to be anything else, you become a hypocrite. Come to church and say, God, I need you to work on me. God, I need you to save me. God, I need you to deliver me from this thing. Because one thing I know, Sister Kathy, when God delivers you from it, he delivers you from it in church. And when you go home, your home is going to be different. Because the same problem will be there. But you'll be able to say, I've been changed. No matter how you talk to me, no matter how you look at me, no matter what you do in this house, because I've been changed by God, I'm able to deal with it. Tell your neighbor, the pastor's show is preaching. Yeah, you can't mix faith. You can't mix faith with your flesh. You can't be pious on Sunday and then be something totally different throughout the rest of the week. That's called unholy mixture. And that's how the devil try to destroy you with unholy mixture. And so the first thing was their size. And then another reason why you cannot plow with an ox and a donkey together is because of their size. Sanctity. In other words, the ox was considered a clean animal according to the laws of Israel, but the donkey was considered an unclean animal. So now you done hooked up a dirty animal with a clean animal. Y'all ain't gonna help me here. Don't hook up with no dirty animal and you clean. Anybody that ain't clean, don't hook up with them. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. Oh Lord, a dirty, it was because of their sanctity. And so here's the principle behind that. You cannot mix the clean and the unclean and do business for God. How many of y'all know doing business for God, you ain't got to be crooked. You ain't got to cheat. You ain't got to lie. You ain't got to try to help God. You ain't got to lie in the name of Jesus. You could be straight in business. You can, oh, come on here. You could be sanctified. You see, my God, if the difference was one was clean and one was unclean. And so mixing your faith and the flesh, you can't plow a straight road. You got to be sanctified. And I know sometimes we got to all on a daily basis put this flesh under subjection. Y'all ain't gonna help me here. You got to put this flesh under subjection when you get ready to cuss somebody out. You mean to tell me, Pastor, your saints are still cussing? Well, I'm not talking to y'all that done got it made. I want to talk to some folk for just a few minutes. I want to talk to some folk that's for real. I want to talk to some people that haven't already been glorified but yet miss Jesus coming to get them. Because the bottom line is we're all going to be glorified when Jesus comes. But sometimes we sit around here like we're so holy and like we're so deep and like we've already been glorified, but Jesus just left us sitting here. There are some of us, I'm going to include myself in this. Is that all right with y'all? Because I'm not talking at you, I'm talking to you. And that's what's wrong with the church. We want to talk at other people when we ought to be talking to ourselves. But I ain't forgot how to cuss. Y'all ain't got to talk back here to me. I have not forgot how to curse. I really haven't. I know all the words because I have not. It's just like saying once you learn how to swim, you never forget how to swim. Once you learn how to cuss, guess what? You never forget how to curse. And so there come times when I become so frustrated and upset until sometime it amazes it seems like the English this version just ain't good enough. And so therefore I have to wait, put my flesh under subjection. Y'all ain't talking here to me. I have to put my flesh. I have to tell Gary, you can't cuss that person out, Gary. That's some funk I want to punch in the throat. Y'all ain't talking back here to me. But guess what, Gary? You cannot. You can't. Am I preaching? Am I being truthful here? Some of y'all looking like, well, I don't feel that way. But God bless you. Sometimes I do. I feel like choking some folk out, Sister Diane. I feel like telling them, somebody said, just pray for them. I say, no, they don't need prayer. All they need me to do is take them out in the parking lot. I guarantee you, they'll be changed when I get through with them. But guess what, Sister Geetry? I can't take them out in the lot. I can't take them out in the lot. I got to put my flesh under. I got to tie my hands and say, Lord, hold me. Holy Ghost, keep me. Come on here, somebody. Holy Ghost, keep me, because sometimes I don't even want to be kept. Y'all ain't talking back into me. Then come a time I don't even want to be kept. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Ever since I've been with the Lord, it's just been me and the Lord, and that's all I wanted. Oh, well, God bless you, honey. There's been some time I almost let go, but somebody ought to say the Lord held me close. There was times in my ministry, times in my saved life, I'm ready to throw in the towel. Come on. I said, it ain't worth it. It's not worth it. And even when I let go, the Lord. Somebody ought to say the Lord. I think I got about 4 or 5 people that know what I'm talking about. The Lord held me. He held me close. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, if it had not been for the grace of God, if it had not been, that it took me to my father's house and they'd have stoned me in the city. Y'all ain't got to talk back here to me. But somebody ought to say, thank God for your mercy. Thank God for your grace. Thank God for your faithfulness. Hallelujah. See, you got to sanctify yourself. Sanctify. Sanctify yourself. In other words, what does that mean, Pastor? What does that mean? I just want to talk. What does that mean to sanctify myself? That means that you do everything that you know how to do. Amen. You just make a list if you have to. Y'all ain't talking to me. And work on your list. Work on your list. Don't take a long time, because Jesus might come back soon. You know, he's coming soon. But work on your list. You do everything that you could humanly possibly do. Amen. Amen. And that's the time that God takes over and God does the rest. Maybe you can't turn the other cheek if somebody slap you, but if you at least try, hallelujah. If you start working on get past cussing somebody out because they look at you funny, you ain't gonna never turn the other cheek and you cussing folk out because they look at you funny. You see, it's a process. Come on here, somebody. How many of y'all know as we walk this walk, it's a process. And guess what? It's a never ending process. Every day we're trying to get closer to Jesus. We want to be more like Jesus Christ. And so there was their size. Why you could not plow with an ox and a donkey. It was their size. Then it was their sanctity. One was cleaner than the other. But then I read something in the book of Isaiah. You know, I was up to about 2 o'clock, y'all. Amen. Because I love to read the word of God. I read something in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse number 3, that tied right into the message, and then I'm finished. And it just simply says, the ox knoweth his owner. Don't miss it. The ox knoweth its owner, but the ass his master's crib. I don't want you to miss it. The ox know the owner, but the donkey only knows the master's crib. There's a big difference. In other words, your spirit, their spirit was different. That's why you couldn't put them together. They had different spirits. Everybody say different spirit. You know, there's all kind of spirits going on around here. They had a different spirit. There was a big difference in the attitude and the spirit of the donkey and the ox. The ox is primarily concerned about pleasing his master. Hallelujah. I wonder, do I have any oxes up in here? Well, don't answer, because I'm going to ask that question again in a minute. Yeah, don't answer, don't answer. Do we have any oxes up in here? The ox want to please their master. In other words, God, whatever you want me to do, that's what I want to do. You want me to plow this field? I'll plow this field. You want me to sacrifice myself? I'll sacrifice myself. The ox want to please the master, but the donkey is primarily concerned about what's in the master's crib. In other words, what's in the master's house? My God, one has a holy motivation. The other serves for what they can get out of it. The master says, I'm getting ready to close now. The ox says, God, I'm going to serve you regardless. But the donkey got to get something out of it. The donkey's main interest was the master's crib. The donkey served for his own belly. He was in it for what he could get out of it for himself. And I want you to know here, as I hurry to come to a close, that some people serve God because God is God. Hallelujah. I said some people, not everybody. Some people go after the heart of God, while others of you is going after the hand of God. In other words, what can God give me? And as long as he keep giving it to me, then I can keep on serving him. But when he don't give it to me no more, I got to go look somewhere else. I stop right here to tell you that's a donkey mentality. And it's right here in the text. Because the ox is concerned about his master, but the donkey's only concerned with himself. Some people serve God because he's God. Others, they must be bribed by some carnal inducement, some trinket, some prize to get them what they ought to do because, hallelujah, to cause them to do what they do. But I don't know about y'all. I got to say bye now. But I want you to know I'm an ox. I'm an ox. And the reason I know that I'm an ox, because I have sense enough to know that I don't have to seek the hand of God if I go after the heart of God, because I have common sense to know that his hand comes along with his heart. And I want y'all to know an ox will make up in their mind that they're going to focus on the blesser rather than the blessing. In other words, I'm going to focus on the, I just want to talk. I'm going to focus on him to whom all blessings flow. I'm not going to focus on the Jag. I'm not going to focus on the Mercedes. I'm not going to focus on the BMW. I'm not going to focus on the big house. But I'd rather have Jesus. Oh, I got to close now. Then houses and land. I got to focus on the blesser. Anybody gonna focus on the blesser? Quit looking at what you have and making a determination that's how God wanna bless you. Start blessing the blesser. Hey, you can't serve God with